Welcome to Home Lab Highlights, the show that surfaces practical home lab wins and useful self-hosted tools. So here's a question that's probably keeping some of you up at night if you're running a stack of containers. A home lab operator posted online asking how to balance two pieces of advice that seem to directly contradict each other. On one hand, keep everything updated for security. On the other, pin your Docker container versions to avoid surprises. The real tension is supply chain attacks, malicious code that slips through official update channels. And the poster wondered if waiting 7 days before applying updates was a reasonable compromise.
That 7-day buffer is actually pretty common, and the community responses showed there's no single right answer here. One commenter who works as a cybersecurity engineer admitted they had no clear answer either, given how prevalent supply chain attacks have become. What emerged instead was less about a perfect update strategy and more about layering your defenses. Don't expose services directly to the internet. Use a VPN. Think about what damage a compromised container could actually do to the rest of your network. The consensus was that for a home lab, a delayed, monitored update cycle combined with good network hygiene is a perfectly valid approach.
The key insight from the thread was that staying a few days or even weeks behind the bleeding edge isn't reckless if you've got other security layers in place. One operator mentioned they run backups before every update, so if something breaks, they can revert in minutes. Another said they use doccheck.sh on a weekly cron with a dry run flag, then manually review the changelog before merging. It adds maybe 10 minutes a week, but they've never been burned by an automatic update going sideways. So the real story here is that there's no shame in being cautious about updates, if you're thoughtful about the rest of your security posture.
Moving to the feed, there's a notable update for the Kubernetes crowd. Version 1.37 has graduated storage version migration to general availability, and it's enabled by default. According to the Kubernetes blog, this built-in API solves a long-standing headache. When you change the storage version of a resource, like when promoting a custom resource definition from V1 alpha 1 to V1, or when you rotate encryption at rest keys, existing objects in storage don't automatically get rewritten. In plain terms, this is about making sure old data gets rewritten to the new format automatically instead of you having to do it by hand. This new feature lets you create a declarative storage version migration object, and a controller will handle migrating all the existing resources for you, which is a huge quality of life improvement over manual scripts. The blog post notes this is particularly crucial for cluster operators managing stateful applications, where manual migration errors could lead to data loss or downtime. It's one of those back-end features you don't think about until you need it, and then you're incredibly grateful it exists.
That's a solid back-end cleanup for cluster operators. Next, a quick but important warning from Ars Technica's security team. They're highlighting research on devices like the Superbox S7 Pro, which promise free streaming movies. The article reports these Android-based boxes are often configured with almost all security protections disabled, running apps as root, and they inherently function as nodes in residential proxy networks. Worse, according to security firm Plume, they're actively being targeted by malware that can install additional botnets or proxy services. The bottom line is blunt. If you or someone you know has one of these, disconnect it. The research found some of these devices were already compromised within 72 hours of being plugged in, acting as exit nodes for traffic that could be traced back to the owner's IP address. It's a reminder that free streaming hardware often has a hidden, potentially illegal operational cost. A perfect example of why you don't want random devices on your network. And finally, a lighter note from Hacker News. TMP.out Volume 5 is out. That's the digital magazine focused on low-level programming, infosec, and unconventional computing. For anyone interested in the deeper, weirder technical arts, it's always a fascinating and dense read. It's the kind of publication that makes you want to fire up a lab VM and follow along with whatever niche project catches your eye. If you're into bootloaders, vintage hardware, or just exploring the edges of what's possible with unconventional architectures, it's a real treasure trove.
For our tool highlight, a recent blog post shows how one operator repurposed existing security cameras into an automatic bird identification system using BirdNet Go. BirdNet itself is an AI model that can identify bird species by sound. This project takes it a step further by packaging it into a tool that can process audio streams from a camera with a microphone. Point it at your yard, feed the audio into BirdNet Go, and it logs the species it hears. The implementation is straightforward. You capture an RTSP feed or local recording from the camera, then run BirdNet Go against it in a container. The blog author used a simple Docker Compose setup, which outputs logs and can even trigger webhooks when a new species is detected. The model supports over 6,000 species globally, so your results will depend on your local fauna.
It's a fantastic example of creative tinkering. You're taking a general-purpose monitoring device and applying a specialized open-source tool to extract completely different value from it. That's exactly what makes a home lab interesting, taking something you already have and asking, what else can this do? The operational side is clean, too. Once it's running, it just sits there passively listening and logging. You can set up alerts if a rare species shows up, or just browse the logs to see what's been visiting. Some operators have even integrated it with their home automation to trigger a camera snapshot when a bird is detected, so you get both audio and visual records. It's low overhead, runs on modest hardware, and turns a security camera into an environmental sensor.
Wrapping up with a community highlight, let's check in on a different kind of community effort. Over on the ChatGPT coding subreddit, the weekly self-promotion thread is up and running. The premise is simple. It's a dedicated space for builders working on AI-assisted coding tools to share what they're making, away from the main feed. The thread itself is just the invitation. The value is in the projects people link to.
It's a smart community management tactic. It contains the promotional energy to one place, which keeps the rest of the subreddit focused on discussion, while still giving developers a venue to get eyes on their work. For home labbers who are also building tools, especially around AI workflows, threads like this can be a goldmine for discovering new utilities, VS Code extensions, or CLI tools that someone else has crafted to solve a problem you might have. It's worth skimming just to see what's bubbling up in that adjacent builder space. The kinds of projects that show up tend to be practical. Local first tools, integrations with Ollama or other open models, and quality of life utilities that make complex projects more manageable. If you're building something yourself, it's also a good place to get feedback from people who are actively working in the same space.
That's HomeLab Highlights for Monday. Until next time, happy hosting.